Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Now, we were originally scheduled to be out at practice today. We got there. D-Mace and I sat down as we were getting pelted by the rain and all the equipment was getting wet. We said, okay, yeah, we're going back to the station. So at the station today, D-Mace is here. Last day before Willie comes back tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, we're doing well. We're doing well. Luckily, we had enough time, you know, to assess what was going on over there. Didn't get back over here.
So shout out to Ladarius, our audio engineer.
Exactly.
He went to practice, got everything set up, and then D-Mace and I looked at each other. We were like, yeah,
we're going to go back to
the
studio.
We're going to go back to the station.
Just to be safe.
Nick Frazier is here as well. Nick, how we doing?
We're rocking and rolling.
Living the dream.
You know, Willie reminds me of a modern-day George Costanza. You know that one episode where he goes, believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out, or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, Willie's not at home, so we don't know where Willie's at.
Where in the world is Willie Donick?
Nobody knows. Just throw a dart; he'll probably be there.
He knows he'll be there. Yeah, whether it's Asia, New England, wherever it might be, Willie's
the Caribbean.
Probably
going
to be there. Yeah, right. He's on a beach right now, using a conch shell to call into the show. But we got some news this morning from Mike Vrabel. Now, normally Mike Vrabel is at the podium after practice to kind of give a breakdown of practice, answer questions from the media. But Mike Vrabel will not be serving as head coach on Saturday. So we will hear from Terrell Williams, Titans assistant head coach, defensive line coach, who will be serving as the head coach on Saturday in Chicago. We'll hear from Terrell Williams at the podium. So we will carry that live and in its entirety. I'm excited to hear what Terrell Williams has to say. But Mike Vrabel spoke with the media in kind of a scrum at the side, since he's not speaking to the media at the podium, and provided a little bit of an update about probably the biggest question that we've all been asking ourselves throughout the entire week going into the Chicago game. One, who's going to be starting quarterback? Mm-hmm. And two, are we going to see the starters? And if so, how much? This was Mike Vrabel at a media scrum before practice.
Saturday, or is that a Friday decision?
No, it's been made, yeah.
Is it going to be Malik?
That's not a decision that we're going to share right
beforehand.
Now, but we've made the decision.
Okay, yet another keeping secrets under lock and key from Mike Vrabel. But they have decided who is going to be the starting quarterback on Saturday, not sharing it quite yet. D-Mace, who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback?
I think Malik Willis will be the starting quarterback. I would be surprised if he's not. I don't think he's done anything that would, make me think that he would be the third quarterback. He's looked well in camp, and he's sort of the elder statesman in this situation, only by a year, but still, he's the elder statesman
when it comes to
Levis. But, I mean, it's not even that. I think he's played well enough. He's played himself. He deserved and he earned that right to be the number two quarterback as of now. Now, things can change. But right now he's earned that spot and he's earned the opportunity to, if they don't go with Ryan Tannehill, Saturday, he's earned the spot to be the starter for this game, at least to start off, because obviously both guys, they end up playing.
Do you think that's the right decision?
I think it's the right decision. Again, it's, he hasn't done anything but get better from the minute, this offseason started. They've noticed something. And they've said this, not us. They've noticed a difference in Malik Willis from last year to this year. And that's what you want to see. And, he's gone throughout practice. Now, every practice hadn't been perfect, but they've seen the improvement. Vrabel said he's a different person. You can tell when he walks in the building. He's a different person. So, with all that being said, I don't think he played himself out of being the starter if Ryan doesn't play, being a starter against the Bears. I think he's played he's played himself into it because I know once they drafted Will Levis, they didn't know how Malik Willis would come back to camp. But he's shown them that he's ready, he's focused, and he's determined to, you know, win a spot on his team.
And you say, and you make a very fair point, you know, if Ryan doesn't play, Malik should get the start.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Ryan should play?
Should? No. Would I be surprised if he did? No.
Why do you think he shouldn't?
Because I just don't trust the offensive line. I don't. And I'm not throwing my quarterback out there. Just like I'm not throwing Derrick Henry. If I ain't throwing Derrick Henry out there, I'm damn sure not throwing my quarterback out there with two guys behind them with a combined, you know, a combined maybe 50 passes in his league, Malik Willis and Levis. So I'm not chancing it with my quarterback. If my starting running back isn't playing, I'm not playing my starting quarterback either. But, you know, they might choose to do something different.
I struggle with that because I hear it. Like, uh-huh. Losing your starting quarterback in the preseason sounds like close to one of the most, you know, awful things that could happen to a franchise, especially considering the Titans made it very obvious in the offseason with the moves that they made that they're trying to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because although Malik Willis and Will Levis both look encouraging, neither of them look like starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. But are you not going to play Ryan Tannehill at week one behind that offensive line?
Well, you would hope that as we start to play these preseason games, they'll start to gel a little bit more because they're playing against different competition.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see, again, I don't think Ryan will play, mm-hmm. but if he does, I wouldn't be like totally surprised.
Would you think it's a bad idea?
Bad idea because I don't trust the offensive line. Now, if you're just saying, okay, I need to get him some reps with D-Hop and these new pass catchers, then okay. But everything, like I told Chase, you know, when I went on with him 15 minutes ago, I said, if you're going to throw Ryan Tannehill in there, everything needs to be quick. Three-step drops or he's already in the shotgun and he's getting the ball away very early. No five-step drops, definitely no damn seven-step drops, which I don't think they're going to do anyway. I think everything needs to be quick out of Ryan Tannehill's hands very quickly so he doesn't even have a chance to get touched. If that's not the game plan, which I think it will be the game plan, but if it's not, then no, there's no reason for me to throw him out there because I have two joint practices coming up with Minnesota and New England. I can use him for those because I know he's not going to get touched, but the offensive line is going to get some, you know, massive work going against those two defenses.
And that's where I kind of struggle with it mm-hmm. because you're right. You know, I don't trust this offensive line either. I don't trust this offensive line in practice, much less in an actual game setting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the offensive line that you got.
Yeah.
That's the offensive line that Ryan Tannehill is going to be behind for the first six games of the season. And, oh, yeah, by the way, those six games of the season also coincide with your toughest stretch of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we have said so many times, and I have been concerned about this offense over the last couple of weeks. And, D-Mace, you always tell me it's early. Mm-hmm. They need time to gel. They need time to get acclimated into this offense. All things that are true.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new offense. You know, this is an offensive line that needs some time to gel. You do have new receivers that need to build that rapport. But how are you going to do that and be game ready by week one if you don't at least get some reps in the preseason? And I know the joint mm-hmm. practices are incredibly beneficial, and it kind of brings down the risk, maybe the injury mm-hmm. risk that could present itself in a preseason game. And the joint practices are beneficial. But if the name of the game, if what is going to take this offense from what it is now to what we want it to be in the regular season
mm-hmm.
is reps and time and just, you know, the ability to gel,
mm-hmm.
don't you want to give yourself as many opportunities as possible?
Yes, but I don't want to give myself these opportunities while jeopardizing my quarterback's health. My starting quarterback's health.
Again, also, fair point. And that's the other side uh-huh. of it that's pulling me the other way is I want this offense to have time to gel and mm-hmm. get the mistakes out in the preseason when they don't really matter. I also don't want to put Ryan Tannehill in jeopardy, but also in that same breath, am I okay with just throwing him to the Wolves week one? Because what's the difference of him getting hurt week one versus, you know, game one of the preseason?
Well, you would hope there's no difference because he's hurt regardless if that does happen.
And you would hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. But what you hope is, even if Ryan doesn't play, again, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. You know, with the way the offensive line has been blocking, I don't want my quarterback behind him just yet. Not in a game-type situation where everything is alive, where my quarterback can be hit. He doesn't have on that red jersey. So, you know, I would use the joint practices as my sort of game preparation because essentially what you have is five preseason games. That's what you have. You have the three that you're going to play, which typically you're going to use for, you know, rookies, you know, second year guys trying to make the team. You're using those games for that so they can gain some experience and you get to evaluate them. Those two, you know, those two scrimmages that you have, that's more so for the starters because my quarterback, we're still able to do things live, full go, you know, game type tempo, but
against
y'all can't
a different
exactly
defense.
But you can't touch my quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, they will call it if he's gotten sacked, they'll call it if he's gotten close to him. The refs will call it, the head coaches will call it. But it's still giving the quarterback an opportunity to simulate a game type situation. Mm-hmm. It gives the offensive line an opportunity to simulate game type situation as well as the receiver. So even though, you know, D-Hop may not play during preseason, or Derrick Henry may not play during preseason, they're still going to get sort of live game reps against Minnesota and New England.
I want to see, I think, Ryan Tannehill for a couple series.
I mean,
I don't need to see him for four quarters.
I mean, I would too. But if he's in a game, I don't want to see him a couple of series because that means D-Hop has to be out there a couple of series. And I just need a series with D-Hop. That's it. If Ryan Tannehill is going to play a series, D-Hop needs to play a series.
Get all the
starters
out there.
Yeah, then he's out after. The minute Ryan leaves, D-Hop is gone too. I don't want Derrick Henry in it at all. Mm-hmm. I don't. But the rest of those guys that are sort of starters, Treylon Burks, mm-hmm. Chigga Conquo, once, you know, Ryan Tannehill leaves the game, if you give him a series, depending on how they look, not Ryan, but how the other guys look, I'm removing them from the game.
Yeah, I don't need him out there in four quarters.
No,
absolutely
I'm
not.
I'm removing him from
get
the game.
Get in there.
Give me a series and get out.
Dip your toes in the water mm-hmm. and then get out. Mike Vrabel said that they have decided on a starting quarterback for the preseason game on Saturday, not announcing yet, no shock there, who that quarterback is. Who do you think it is? Who do you think it should be? Plus, what Mike Vrabel also said about who we could and could possibly not see on Saturday against Chicago. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Terrell Williams, assistant head coach and defensive line coach, will speak at the podium in just about 15 minutes. We will take that live and in its entirety. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that they continue to improve on some of the things that we've seen here in the last couple of practices, that they start and continue to work as a unit, helping each other in protection, making sure that they're building a pocket inside, and trying to see the things that have shown up here lately in practice, trying to stay inside out on guys, just the fundamentals, you know, the things that we preach, taking the next step in live action and how we finish and what our conditioning level is. And there'll be a lot of good things to be able to see.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel before practice today. Now, normally, Mike Vrabel speaks at the podium after practice. We'll hear from Terrell Williams, who's acting as head coach on Saturday against Chicago in the first preseason game. So we'll hear from Terrell Williams at the podium after practice. So Mike Vrabel spoke with media and kind of a scrum on the sidelines before practice. That was Vrabel on the offensive line. That, hey, we're just going to keep working and getting better every single day. Now, Mike Vrabel also announced that they have decided on the starting quarterback mm-hmm. on Saturday, but will not yet announce it. He also said that we're going to see some starters, not all starters. Now, Vrabel's talking about the offensive line there. If you think differently, D-Mace, let me know. I want to see the starting offensive line for as much as we possibly can.
Hey, if they played the whole game, I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't. Yeah, throw them out there.
Throw them out there the whole game, four quarters. They need it.
They do need it.
Because this is the biggest question mark on this team. And, you know, the Titans season will go as their offensive line goes. Now, I know injuries are involved in the game, and if they have too many injuries, then that can derail their season very quickly as it did last year. But if they don't have as many injuries as they have had the last two seasons, this year will hinge on whether their offensive line is adequate enough or not. I'm not even saying if they're a great offensive line. They just need to be better than what they were last year. If it's not significantly better than what they were last year, then this team is going to be fighting uphill the whole season.
It's scary to think about.
Yeah.
It's scary. And all throughout the offseason, I was talking about, you know, reasons why we should feel better. And we were all talking about this, reasons why we should feel better about this Titans team than last year. And we said, well, the offensive line has to be better because I don't know how much worse it can be. And now I'm starting to get flashbacks of last season, and the worry starts to set in. Like, I was on with Joe Rexroad this morning, and he said, of course, the offensive line is the number one concern. Mm-hmm. No, if I had to pick one side of the ball, the offense is the number one concern, but more specifically the offensive line. He asked me, what do you think is the second most concerning thing? I was thinking to myself, I have questions about, you know, secondary questions about the tight end position, but those concerns almost feel like they pale in comparison to my concerns about the offensive line. So I'm good to see the starting offensive line, Peter Skoronski, Andre Dillard, Aaron Brewer, Daniel Brunskill, Hubbard, throw them all out there. What other starters do you think we'll see? And what other starters do you think we should see on Saturday?
Well, starters we will see beside the offensive line. I think Chig will be out there. I would like to see DeAndre out there if Ryan is out there. I would like to see DeAndre out there. Traylon needs.
If Tannehill's not out there,
then I don't need to see DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, take I would
him
agree.
Out. Yeah,
I
take
would agree.
Him out. But I do need to see, regardless of who's playing, I do need to see Treylon Burks and Chick Okonkwo, Kyle Phillips, and even Chris Moore. I need to see him a little bit more, too. So those are the guys that that should play, you know, beside the offensive line. Beside that, if you want to go on the defensive side of the ball, I just need the secondary, the corners. I don't necessarily need to see the defensive line get out there and play. Now, I would love to see, you know, Monty Rice and Arden Key working his defense. I just want to see his energy out there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that in
game setting.
And I would like to see Aziz out there as well, just to see how that linebacker core. I guess that's not necessarily the full front seven, but I would like to see the linebackers, because we're ushering in two new linebackers in Arden Key and Aziz. Harold Landry's not going to play. We know that. Monty Rice, he needs to be another guy to play too. So I need to see those four linebackers play because they need to – these guys were not – majority of these guys at that position, starter position, were not on his team last year. So I need to see them play together in this defense.
I think we're for sure going to see Monty Rice and Jack Gibbons because that's kind of a little bit of an – not a little bit. It is an inside linebacker competition. So I think we're going to see those guys, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of those guys throughout each of the three preseason games. Defense, sticking defensively, I don't need to see Christian Fulton.
No.
I don't need to
Murphy. He might pull a hamstring.
Yeah.
Don't need him out there.
I'd like to see Roger McCreary. If I don't see him, I will not lose sleep. But I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of Roger McCreary. Other than that, like, I would love to see Arden Key and Aziz Alshayer just because of, like, my own personal excitement to see those two. But if we don't, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. They're veterans. They've been around. It's okay. I can live with not seeing them. really defensively, other than Monty Rice and Jack Gibbons, mm-hmm. if I don't see anyone else, I'll be okay with it. Like, I don't need to see Jeffrey Simmons.
Do not put him out there. I don't need to really see him. I don't need to see Autry.
If Jeffrey Simmons and Inigo Autry don't even make the trip to Chicago, yeah. I'll be okay with that. I will live with that. But offensively, I want to see as many as possible.
Yeah, offense, you know, I think.
With a small sample size. Yeah, I don't need to see a full half of Tannehill.
9 out of 11, starting 11, I need to see play. You know, I don't need to see Ryan. I don't need to see Derek. Mm-hmm. I really don't need to see D-Hop. So, you know, that takes 3 out of there. Uh-huh. So everybody else, I need to see, especially the offensive line. I just need to see Chig, because I think the more he's out there, the more he plays, mm-hmm. the more comfortable he gets, the better he gets. I think he can play. I think he's going to be an impact player for them this year. So I'm not necessarily worried about, well, is Chig going to show? No, I just want to see him play. Mm-hmm. I just want to see him out there. Or I want to see majority of the offense, as much of the offense as we can possibly see out there against the Chicago Bears and moving forward. But beside the 3 that I named, Tannehill, Henry, and Hopkins, everybody else needs to have some playing time, whether it's a series or 2 series or the whole game.
If you had to give it like a probability or betting odds mm-hmm. of how likely or not likely it is that we see Tannehill mm-hmm. out there, what do you think it would be?
Very unlikely.
I think so too.
Very unlikely. So
I would agree.
I think they've already said they made that decision, but I think their starter will be Malik Willis.
If it's between, and I would agree with you, I don't necessarily love that decision. Like, I would love for this offense to take advantage of as many opportunities mm-hmm. as they can get to gel together. If that's the number one thing that we're going to tell ourselves as we get concerned with the offense is, hey, it's early. Mm-hmm. Hey, they got time. Hey, they still need to gel. Well, then give them the opportunities to gel. But I'm with you that I don't think that it's likely, and I would agree with you that between Will Levis and Malik Willis, mm-hmm. I think Malik Willis is going to get the start. Now, Malik Willis had a good day today in practice. We'll have a full breakdown of practice whenever we are allowed to break down practice. But I don't think it's as much of an indictment of Will Levis. I think it's more so Malik Willis was listed as the second quarterback on this mm-hmm. most recent depth chart. He is the more senior quarterback in that room between himself and Will Levis. So I think that he'll get the nod. But I do think we'll see Will Levis.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely see Will Levis.
I want to see a half from either.
We're going to see a lot of Will Levis.
Yeah.
You know, I think the plan may be to play Malik Willis the first half or at least play him the first quarter.
Willis Levis.
Now, I think once they go away from one guy, I don't think they go back. Yeah, they're going to stick. That's why if Malik Willis has a good first quarter, then I think he's done. I think if the offense looks good, mm-hmm. I think who's ever out there, majority of those guys are gone. At least the quarterback is gone. I think then they're going to give Levis an opportunity to have the second quarter, third quarter, and they have another quarterback on the roster, don't they? Or is it just those 3?
I don't need to see him.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, if Malik is getting all of the first quarter and you say, well, I've seen enough, mm-hmm. then you throw Will Levis in there, you give him the second quarter, third quarter, see how he reacts playing the second quarter, going into halftime, coming back out. How does he make those adjustments after mm-hmm. halftime? So I think you'll see that. And he may play the whole game after that. You know, I think they will try to give Will Levis as many opportunities as possible to prove that he can play. I think they believe that Malik Willis has done a lot this camp, but they want to see a little bit more. So if he does well in the first quarter, don't expect to see him, you know, into halftime or past halftime.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into some of your thoughts on that. Plus, we'll hear from Terrell Williams, acting head coach, on Saturday at the podium. So we'll play that live and in its entirety. Hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-May. Stay tuned in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6.05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. So we will hear from Terrell Williams, acting head coach, on Saturday in just a moment. But let's get to some thoughts before we get to Terrell Williams. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jeff in Nashville, Texan, asked D-Mace, do you think that the Titans will get another O-lineman at final cut?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't rule it out. You know, Vrabel and Rand, their thing has always been, you know, we're going to constantly and consistently try to make this team better. Mm-hmm. Every day we're looking to make this team better. So that tells me that, you know, come, you know, the end of camp when they start making cuts, there may be a guy or two that they add to this roster that somebody else cut. So I would don't be surprised if, yes, they do add another player or another lineman to this roster because they're going to need it.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Mm-hmm.
I also wouldn't expect that signing, if and when it does happen, to mm-hmm. be like a game changer, a starter on this offensive line. If anything, it would be a depth piece to add on, you know, just in case.
Exactly.
Cole Texan says the real reason that Vrabel's letting T coach is so he doesn't have to talk to the media as much. I do have to give Vrabel credit. He did still talk to the media today, at least. Gave us some tidbits, some breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
The announcement that they will be starting some starters, not all starters. Didn't say which starters, mm-hmm. which is just classic Vrabel, you know, fashion, keeping everything behind the Iron Curtain. And then also that they have decided who's going to be the starting quarterback. But, I don't think Mike Vrabel's favorite time of the day is talking to us.
Nah, he would rather skip over all that. He knows it's a part of the job, but man, oh man, if he could skip over it, he would.
Kyle Texan says, have you guys heard anything about Taylor or Ben Jones possibly coming back to the Titans? I haven't heard anything about Ben Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Lewan, on the other hand, well, first of all, Taylor Lewan is skinny.
Yeah, like, I don't know about Taylor now. Ben, there could be a possibility that Ben ends up on somebody else's team, or if, you know, you just never know if the Titans choose and break him back. But it won't happen, people. It won't happen until after the first game. Because after the first game, your contract is not guaranteed. So if they sign you after the first game, then, you know, they can keep you as long as they want to,
mm-hmm.
or if they feel it's not working out, they can drop you second, third game of the season and don't have to pay you the full salary of the season. So
right.
If they do bring someone like Ben Jones back, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, but if they bring someone like a Ben Jones back, don't expect them to bring him back like right before the season starts. They're going to, you know, bring him back after the first game. So they don't have to keep them. If indeed they don't, if they have to make some other roster moves, they can make that move.
I would think it's highly unlikely, but to your point, not completely out of the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, if you've seen him either in person or on social media, he looks more like a tight end than he does a left tackle. Like, he has dropped some LBs. And he also tweeted this morning, I have no idea what this means. It could be absolutely nothing. It could mm-hmm. be like a podcast thing. But he tweeted, the streak has come to an end. It's been a hell of a ride. I haven't slept tonight. Saddest vlog of all time out soon. My first thought when I read that was, mm-hmm. he's retiring. He's going to announce his retirement.
Yeah, it could
and
be.
I could be totally off.
I think you're totally off here, Caroline. It has probably something to do with his gambling situation with Dana White in Vegas.
Oh, does he have that? I have no
idea.
Yeah,
they all play like blackjack together. So I'd assume that's kind of what it probably
means.
Okay,
maybe that.
I'm just putting
that
out there. That's another realm of possibility. But you could also be right.
I have
retirement.
No idea. I don't follow the boys too closely.
Neither do I. I just have a few friends that kind of tell me the ins and outs of what he does on a regular basis. So I'm just like,
did he just lose a bet?
No, I think there
like
was a...
Was he on a betting streak?
There was like a vlog that he did with Bustin' with the Boys that like they were at the blackjack table or something with Dana White. And like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was him or Dana White that went down like 120K or something.
Jeez,
so I don't know
please.
What that could mean. I don't know. But it might be football related. But it's all up in the air. It's like a Roman candle. It goes left to right everywhere in the world.
And leave it to Taylor Lewan to tweet the most cryptic and, like, daunting tweet for it only to be about, like, he lost a bet. Mm. When everyone's just waiting for him to announce his retirement.
Exactly.
So I would say Taylor Lewan, that's probably probably a hard no. Just because he doesn't look like he's in football shape.
Yeah,
I don't know what Ben Jones looks like, but
yeah, I hadn't seen Ben Jones. Well, I did see him SEC Media Day. I saw him.
Is he skinny?
No, he's not skinny. He hadn't retired either, so I guess he's leaving his options open. But Taylor dealing with an injury, mm-hmm. a knee injury, it would be hard for me to envision him back with the Titans or back with any other team because of the injury. And mm-hmm. it just seems like he's not in that football mode right now.
Yeah. And at least as far as Ben Jones was concerned this past season, like, he took a beating. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's taken a beating his entire career. But this past season, like, I remember that clip that came out on social media of Ben Jones walking into the tunnel and Mike Vrabel, it sounds like he's in tears, gave him a big hug, said, "I love you like my mm-hmm. son." He's talking about, like, the sacrifices that Ben Jones makes for the team. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that meant exactly, but I have to think, like, Ben Jones was really overcoming something that day. Another texter texts in and says, "I want to see DeAndre Hopkins no matter who is the starting quarterback on Saturday." I can't agree.
Nah. If Ryan Tannehill's not out there, then I don't want to see it.
I don't need to see DeAndre Hopkins if he's catching passes from Malik Willis or Will Levis. Yeah. And that's no disrespect to Malik Willis or Will Levis.
I just don't want to see him out there. Potential of him, you know, getting hurt. So why does he even need to be out there? Ryan's not out there.
Right.
So.
And if they want to have a few series with the full starting offense, mm-hmm. and when I say a few series, I mean like maybe two, maybe three, mm-hmm. then fine. Yeah, I want to see this whole offense out there, but I don't need to see a whole lot of DeAndre Hopkins. So somebody sent this in. Paul Kaharski tweeted this. Said, "I expect Taylor Lewan to make his retirement official in the next month." This was tweeted on August 3rd. It says, "Unsurprising based on what he looks like weight-wise right now." Yeah, I mean, like,
he's not.
Yeah, I don't know when, if and when he's going to make an announcement anytime soon, but he doesn't at least look like he's in football shape. Mm-hmm. Another texter texts in, says, "How much do you want to see from the starters, but the young guys, like a Chig, a Treylon Burks, Roger McCreary, so on and so forth?"
How much of the younger guys I want to see?
Like the young starters. Like varsity, but not veterans, I guess the texter's asking.
I mean, I would like to see at least a quarter, maybe two, because if you're going to play Malik Willis, say if they only play Malik Willis a quarter, mm-hmm. then I want to see them at least a series or two with Will Levis to give him, because you'll get a sense of how he looks, Will Levis, mm-hmm. with anybody out there. But I think you get a better idea of what he can be if you're putting him with legitimate pass catchers, guys that you're going to count on this year. So if Malik is playing the first quarter with Chig and Treylon, Chris Moore, mm-hmm. Kyle Phillips, then I want to at least see Will Levis with – it doesn't have to be necessarily Treylon, but Chris Moore. I need to see him with mm-hmm. him. I need to see him a little bit with Chig Okonkwo. So how that works out, I don't know. Maybe, you know, we don't see them all together this game, but then the next game, you know, Malik Willis ends up being the third quarterback and Will Levis ends up being the second. So then you can get that work with all those guys.
Right. And I want to see both backup quarterbacks, both mm-hmm. Malik and Levis, with the twos and threes. Like, I don't want to just see Will Levis with the threes. I don't want to see just Malik with the twos. I want to see a good, you know, mix of both.
Exactly.
We'll continue to get back into your phones on this coming up next. Plus, we'll also hear from Terrell Williams at the podium coming up next. He is serving as the head coach on Saturday in Chicago. So we will also break down kind of what we want to hear from Terrell Williams once he takes the podium. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Actually getting the experience and I think he deserves a lot of credit for doing that.
I heard a rumor that you're totally transparent about preseason playing time as a head coach. Is that true?
We're going to have a meeting a little bit later and discuss all of that. But, you know, we're going to play the guys that we need to see, and it'll be exciting, man.
You've obviously done a good job here. You got a promotion to assistant head coach in the offseason. Do you have aspirations of being a head coach yourself one day?
Absolutely. I mean, if I didn't, then when he asked me to do this, I would have said, heck no. So, I mean, I'd love to be a head coach. I think you have I've been in this league a while. I've been coaching football for a while. And you have a lot of some head coaches that are play callers. But I believe that just because you're a play caller doesn't mean that you can run a football team. There's so much more to getting these guys to play. You know, when you're a head football coach, you got to be able to reach both sides of the football and connect with players. Like the way the world is and the way I've always believed that it is, you can't be a head football coach in this league without being able to connect with the football players. You can call shot plays and run plays and blitzes and all those different things, but at the end of the day, this game is still about people. And no matter how good of a play caller you are, if you can't get that offensive lineman to block, or you can't get that defensive lineman to turn and run to the football, then what are we really doing? So that's just my thought on what I think a head football coach is. And I've been fortunate enough to work for a great one here that's innovative, that's thoughtful, that's able to connect with players. And then Joe Tiller at Purdue, Bill Hayes at North Carolina A&T. I've been fortunate enough to work Dennis Allen, New Orleans Saints, Dan Campbell. I've worked for a lot of good head football coaches, and all of those guys have that ability to connect with players.
What are you most curious about in this? I mean, Mike was telling us, you know, the punt card and stuff that he had no idea about the first time he did it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's something that you're kind of most curious about.
I'm better prepared than him because he told me everything he had to go through. So it's you know, the thing I'm probably most curious about is just going up and down the sidelines, because during the games I'm focused on the defensive line and the defense. Usually I don't have much time to look at what's going on offense. I'm just focused on our guys, and now that's Clint McMillan's job to focus on the defensive line. My job is to focus on the football team and handle all the situations and talk to Stretch and communicate with him and Timmy and Shane and those guys who eventually I believe will be head football coach. We got a lot of great football coaches on this staff, and so I'm really just going to lean on them just like Mike does during this football game.
Are you hoping for opportunities like throwing a challenge flag, like making a fourth down decision?
Hopefully
like
the refs will make good calls and we don't have to throw a challenge flag. So, you know what, I think in coaching you just be who you are, and I'm going to coach like my personality is. I'm going to, you know, when the situations come up, we'll be ready for it, and if I'm not, then we'll just ask questions. Like, again, we got great football coaches, and you know, you talk about reality shows. I tell you, a great one would be if you can do one that if you can hear what's going on those dang headsets. It's real interesting, man.
What's been the player reaction, especially the guys in your D-line room when they found out?
So Jeff, all those guys, hey, okay, he's acting different now. He's the head coach. And you know what? It's been fun. I mean, we spend so much time around each other that we care about each other. So I think most of those guys were happy for me to have this opportunity. But what this opportunity also is it gives Clint an opportunity to coach the defensive line. I think the thing that's not talked about a lot since this was announced is Matt Gregg has also taken over for Todd with the training room. So I'll have a meeting with Matt tomorrow, and we'll kind of go over the injuries and do all of that. So this organization, Mike is the one that made a decision, but obviously he had to cover it with ownership. So I think this team deserves a lot of credit for what they're trying to do here.
When Mike came to you about the assistant head coach previously, how did that conversation go? How has that changed your job here?
So I was sitting in my office in the dark, burning a candle like I normally do, And he came over, shut the door, and said, hey, I want to do this. I want to make you an assistant head coach. Nothing's really going to change because of what you do already. You know, I don't – a title for me doesn't change who I am or what I do with this football team. I care about the football team. Anybody that knows me know that I love these football players. Like, I love them and care about them. And, you know, I'm able to reach both sides of the football and talk to those guys and communicate with them. And, I mean, that's really what this business is. It's hard. Like, it's really hard, and it's long. We take up a lot of – we spend a lot of time together. Guys get banged up. So I said this before, you got to be able to connect with these guys. Or when times get tough, they're not going to follow you. So Mike saw that, and I believe that he's a successful head coach because he also has that ability.
I mean obviously
the offensive linemen, because we go against each other all the time. I remember when I first got here in 2018, I showed Taylor Lewan a write-up that I had on him from the Miami Dolphins, what his strengths were, what his weaknesses were. Here's what you need to work on. And those guys will come in and ask questions. And then, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, I've been with Ryan Tannehill longer than any player or coach in my career. I was with him when he was a wide receiver at Texas A&M. I was with him with the Miami Dolphins, and then here in Tennessee. So that's an easy relationship to have. But I think it's got to come organically. Like, you don't just go out and try to develop a relationship with a guy. You just, if you care, you care. And I think that these players know and understand that part. Like,
with the quarterbacks, right, obviously, you know, Tannehill has to get his, Levis, Willis, etc. How are you going to go about deciding who gets to play when and how long?
So we're going to have a staff meeting as soon as we get done here and kind of go over play time and all of that. We really haven't decided. I mean, we just finished practice, so we got to come and look at the injuries and do all of that, and then we'll decide more on the play time. So, I mean, all those guys have done a good job this camp, and I've watched them closely, just like I watched the offensive line. When you're watching your guys on tape, you're obviously going against an opponent, so you're able to see those guys. So we'll sit down and talk about that more tonight, and then a little bit more tomorrow morning, and just kind of see where we are before we get on this plane.
When you talk about other teams hopefully following suit with this kind of opportunity, there have been other assistants who have been given kind of fractional opportunities in terms of the game day.
Yeah.
Do you think this will cut through some of the ambiguity when people go into interviews, being able to say, hey, look, it wasn't fractional. You don't have to sort through what I might or might not have done. I had a game day. Like, how much will that help?
Yeah, it's more – this – what Vrabes is doing here is more than a game day, all right? And I mean, like, I'm taking over really 5 o'clock today. It will be my first meeting with the football team, and then that'll carry on into tomorrow. And I already met with the officials. And so there have been some examples of coaches that have given play callers, okay, you can call this half, or you can call this game, or, hey, you're the head coach for when we get to the field. But this is completely different, all right? And I don't know of any teams that are doing what we're doing here right now, where you're taking over, you're meeting with the media, you're doing all of these different things. And that's why I said Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit. And the thing you guys don't know, like, you see him and he comes up here, and I know how Vrabes can be. Like, trust me, I know how he can be. But what you don't see is what he's able to do for us as coaches and for our families. Like, a lot of guys have been promoted, a lot of guys have gotten jobs from here. This guy, I'll do anything for Mike Vrabel before assistant head coach and before being put in this position, because there's really one reason, and I know that this guy cares about my family, all right? And trust me, for a guy like me, that means a whole hell of a lot.
Have you gotten a sense externally maybe what this actually might mean to other people in the league? Like, has anybody reached out and said, hey, we're so happy?
I'm not really. I mean, there have been, I probably had 200 text messages from different people when it was first announced, but I'm so locked in on trying to get Jeff Simmons not to jump off sides. Like, that's really what my job has been up until this point, and now I'm focused more on the football team. I'll talk to some more guys, and I said this before, I think we have guys on this staff that I hope in the future get the same opportunity. I mean, Shane and Timmy and Ryan Crow and Booker and all the guys on offense, Rob Moore, like, I hope they all get the same opportunity. I think this is you have all these different programs. I came up through the minority coaching internship deal. I in 1999, Jacksonville Jaguars, did one with the Chicago Bears, the Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys. And so I was a product of that, but I'm not sitting here today because of that. I'm sitting here because of how hard I've worked and my value to the team.
Your focus has been on getting your guys ready to play, work with them throughout the game. Have you thought about what it's going to be like on Saturday with so much stuff happening that you've never had to deal with before? Could it potentially be overwhelming, or are you excited about that?
No, I don't think. I mean, I've been through a lot in my life. It takes a lot to overwhelm me. You just roll with the punches. Like, Braves have kind of gone over what game day is going to be like. He's gone over everything that I need to be prepared for. I'm sure there's some things that's going to come up, but that's what being a position coach, that's what being a coordinator, that's what being a head coach is about. It's just, as these things come up, you figure it out. And that's why you have good coaches around you, because you can't do everything. We'll figure it out, and I'm just excited about the opportunity.
What's the last time you may have had butterflies before a game, coach, and what do you anticipate this will be like?
I definitely don't have butterflies. Like, trust me, because I'll be just fine. Like, I'm excited for the football team, and I don't. I'm sitting here now, and hopefully after this, it's not really about me. It's about the guys that are playing in this football game. There's guys that are fighting for jobs, and that's really what this thing's about. And those are the guys that I have. If I have any butterflies, trust me, it's not for me. It's for I want to see how Tajay Spears and some of these guys that haven't played, Will Levis and some of these guys that haven't played in a pro football game, you know, I'm more concerned about them. I'll be fine. Like, I've been in quite a few pro football games, not as a head football coach, but I still have been there. So, well, I'll be just fine.
How forward thinking is this of Mike to do this, and how much does this show that he kind of has his pulse on this organization?
I think that, again, he deserves credit because he's very, very, very thoughtful. And he had this in mind months ago, and he told me, he said, you know, you can't get experience being a coordinator without being a coordinator. You can't get experience without being a head coach without being a head coach. So here you go. You're going to be the head football coach for 48 hours. You're doing everything the way that you want to do it, and that's what we're going to do. So I think I believe and I hope that more teams will follow suit and do this, just to give guys experience.
Anything Grable does that you want to do totally differently?
No, not really. I mean, the reason that Vrabes and I get along so well, and we get along very well, is because we see football the same. Like, there's not – I don't believe that we should throw it 100 times or blitz every snap. Like, we see football exactly the same. And so that's why it's easy to have conversations with each other about, hey, what do you think here? What do you think there? What this guy should be doing that? It's trust me, we'll be just fine.
From position coach to coordinator, head coach, do you feel like line coaches are overlooked for the coordinator positions, for the head coaching positions?
I don't think so. I mean, here's what I do believe is people hire people that they feel comfortable with in those positions. And then there's some guys, I've known line coaches that just didn't want to be a coordinator or head coach. They love their position. So, and you have to, like, those positions are they're just different. You know, it's probably different than coaching Stoney and the punters or whatever. So it's a little bit different. So as far as being overlooked, I mean, I think there's more and more guys now around the league that are line coaches that are having opportunities to be coordinators and possibly become head coaches.
What's your gut tell you about playing Ryan Tannehill?
My gut tells me that we're going to have a staff meeting after this, and we'll talk about what we're going to do going forward.
What time should I give you a call tomorrow?
After the game on Saturday.
You got any players? You talk about Simmons' kid. Anybody lobbying to try something new, like Simmons trying to get in the backfield, or anybody want to do something crazy?
Well, like I said about Vrabes and I see football the same. I think everybody's happy and excited, and they think, oh, it's just going to be a whole bunch of fun. Well, wait till I walk in that meeting at 5:00. So.
Rob Moore said he wants you to sling it.
We'll do what we got to do to win. All right, guys.
There you go. That was Terrell Williams, Titans defensive line coach. He'll be acting as the head coach on Saturday. I'm really impressed, and I really like what I just heard. So we'll react to what we had from Terrell Williams coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.